Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio as we reach around the world to this fantastic network. Hello to our listeners in Ireland, England, New Zealand, Australia, across North America, Central America, South America, Canada, a big hi. To Alaskans that are listening to us tonight, and also the small community in Northern California that have decided that they love Wild World every Thursday night at 10 p.m. We do appreciate their listenership. And as always, from the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana, now HD, newly renovated, beautiful potty. I was thinking of Northern California. Naughty pine paneling.
See, they're laughing right now.
Which makes such great acoustics for the voice and the broadcast. Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Why, good evening, Mr. Batson. I know your school season has just started. How are the kids this year?
Well, they're just as great as they always have been. We're very blessed. You know, kids love to see animals, and they love to learn about them. God bless each and every one of them. And now as we go into our, 37th year of visiting schools. Yeah, I know. We're running into grandparents that remember us when they were in elementary school, so that makes me feel, I don't know how I feel about that. I feel good because it's always such a great time. But it's great because, you know, we spend all summer wondering sometimes why we do this job. Like today, for instance, I was knee-deep in bear, you know what. And I realize that when we walk into those schools and see those youngsters' faces and they smile and say, "Hey, animal guy, how are you?" And I said, "I'm great. And you're the reason why." So it's going to be a fantastic year. Plus, and also, Dr. Day, as you know, we are enjoying magnificent weather in central Indiana.
Yeah, that's right. The temperature tonight is 64 degrees.
My goodness. And you know the toad just did. Yes, excuse me. It's very, very comfortable. In fact, it hasn't deterred any of the wildlife these cooler nights. I saw toads this afternoon, and I hear the birds. The hummingbirds still haven't left. I told them to get out of here. Did you take your hummingbird feeder down?
Yes, I took them down this weekend.
Well, we've got to do it. They've got to head on. But, that's what's happening there. And God bless the little hummingbirds as they make their journeys south. I don't know how far south they'll go, probably. South Carolina, who knows, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Arkansas. But have a safe trip.
Some of them trek across the Gulf of Mexico.
You know, that is hard to believe.
A couple of thousand miles to Central America.
Oh, my gosh. Those little bitty hearts and those little bitty bodies and those little bitty wings. I call them flying ice picks. But there's nothing cockier than a darn hummingbird, I'll tell you, boy.
One of my favorite things about the hummingbirds is watching them make their nests out of lichen and spider webs. I've watched hummingbirds unwind spider webs from limbs.
Really?
You know, in 20 minutes just to get one big long line of spider web.
I've never had the opportunity to view that. And here I live out in the middle of nowhere where there's hummingbirds by the gazillions. And notice them using more flowers this year. And as soon as the flowers started dying off and they returned to the feeders, because there's a certain part of the summer that We didn't have very many, and I was so disappointed, but they came back as soon as the flowers, the lilies started to, they did what they did. You know, usually the month of July is their high point.
Yeah, when we took our feeders down, we saw them for like a day and a half later on the flowers, and then they were gone.
God bless them. So we hope safe journeys for all the hummingbirds and all the birds that have to migrate tens of thousands of miles. God bless each and every one of them. We want to remind everyone that this part of Wild World is brought to you by Alphabet Swamp, our book that we've published, Cheryl and I put together. It's available at our website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, $10 per copy. We'll send them autographed to whom or whomever you would like to have them autographed to. Just think, we're planning ahead, but what a great stocking stuffer. Our book featuring Baxter the Educator, Alphabet Swamp. They make it possible for Wild World to be on, yeah, say it with me, Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for September 18th. Yeah, now there's only 30 days in this month, so we're one short.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah, but we're heading into fall, and it's a beautiful time of the year and also not so beautiful time of the year. Because
yeah.
The Farmer's Almanac is predicting a very heavy winter this year.
I hope they don't know a darn thing what they're talking about.
Yeah, me too. Well, we've got a sunrise in the morning at 7:29. It's getting a little darker in the mornings, and the sun doesn't set tomorrow until 7:46. So try to enjoy every minute.
Yes, we do.
Now, our first story tonight.
Oh.
The U.S. Coast Guard in Bourne, Massachusetts, says crews responding to the report of a huge oil sheen in Buzzard Bay have discovered a large area of jellyfish.
Mm.
Yeah, it wasn't an oil spill. It was jellyfish. Now, Coast Guard Lieutenant Gerard Amazi says that members of the public will often report natural events like a congregation of jellyfish or algae blooms as pollution or oil spills.
Well.
But we're just very happy that it wasn't an oil spill.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely.
I got to say about that. What?
Absolutely.
Well, oil's well, that ends well. Let's head off to Florida for our next story. Now, this is good news. Barney, a 6-pound green sea turtle, and Slash, a 75-pound loggerhead sea turtle, were released in Cocoa Beach, Florida, as the first two survivors from Brevard Zoo's new sea turtle rehabilitation facility.
Oh.
Yes, saving turtles, the first two survivors, Barney and Slash.
Well, good for Barney and Slash. That's fantastic news.
Yep, doing a good job down there in Cocoa Beach. We thank you very much for taking care of our, they would be terrapins.
Yeah.
Instead of tortoises. And
yeah, they would be.
We know turtles kind of a catch-all for a terrapin and a tortoise.
Yeah.
And a tortoise is a land.
Yeah. And
animal and a terrapin.
Terrapins are water and land. Yeah.
That's right.
We're all
for our young listeners out there.
Yeah. You're right, Dr. Day.
All right, now we're getting serious in Florida. Very serious. This is a serious thing. Kissimmee, Florida. The State Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission voted to prohibit the intentional breeding of lionfish in captivity. I guess it's okay for the unintentional breeding of lionfish in captivity. But this takes effect December 1st. Now, imports of the fish, which is an invasive species there, they're already banned there for importing
wow.
it. And why is that? Because they're destroying the natural, local habitat, the fish that live there and the waters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, devastating. Quite beautiful fish, but...
Yeah, they are.
But we don't want them there.
Well, I guess not.
All right, now here's a good reason not to mess with wildlife. A 40-year-old man suspected of harassing an endangered monk seal last month in Honolulu, Hawaii, has been charged with a felony and jailed.
Hmm. Well, he should be.
Yeah.
How long is his sentence?
Well, we'll see how well his behavior is.
Yeah, he better be good.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, we've got a lot of crocodile smiles in Phoenix, Arizona. Six male Siamese crocodiles have hatched as part of the Phoenix Herpetological Society's Endangered Croc Breeding Program.
Well,
yeah, they're quite cute little guys. Now, they're the first crocs to be born in the state. Now, the good news is the Siamese crocodile is listed as a critically endangered species.
I was going to say I thought that they were.
Yeah, so we've got six males. And we know why they're males is because it has to do with temperature while they're incubating.
Mm. Well, you know, and they can determine the sex on various types of reptiles at the temperature that they've been incubated at. Do you know that?
Well, I knew with the crocodiles, a lot of the alligators and caimans that they could do that, but I didn't know about all the
pythons.
Other.
Yeah, the pythons, they can do that too. And don't ask me; I'd have to look it up. But I believe it's a cooler temperature, and they can determine the sex. They can make them either male or female. I had an uncle that way. They liked to froze him, and he turned out to be a male.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
Sorry, boy. I apologize for that.
All right. Well, thank you for doing that. Now,
quite all right.
These, in our next story, these aren't White Castle sliders. Billings, Montana. Now, you're familiar with the red ear slider turtles, right?
Yes.
And they're quite cute things, and they used to sell them as painted turtles many years ago, and they actually painted on their backs, which wasn't really healthy for them. But
no,
in Billings, Montana, the Humane Society is offering to take people's unwanted pet red-eared slider turtles and release them in Texas, where they are a native species.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the red-eared sliders now are illegal to own in Montana without a permit.
Oh.
And if you've got a permit, then you're probably a zoo or some other type of wildlife habitat.
Yeah.
And now, they're popular pets, but they also are invasive, so that's why they don't want them there. So if you got red ear sliders, for our listeners there in Billings, they're going to Texas. They're no longer allowed. All right. Bald is beautiful, I guess. Well, of course it is. Bangor, Maine, two juvenile bald eagles rescued from a treetop nest a few months ago are back in the wild. The State Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife says that the two were rescued after one of the parents died and the other one became sick.
Hmm.
So they rescued little guys, fed them, and they're back in the wild.
Well, good.
Another thank you.
Yes.
All right, also in Putney, Vermont, a veterinary clinic has nursed another American eagle back to health and has released him also. Kelly Price of the Vermont Fish and Wildlife Department says he took the eagle to the Vermont, New Hampshire veterinary clinic where it was cared for a couple of months, was able to reuse its wings, and it also is back in the wild.
Well, that's great news.
Doing eagly things.
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of
yeah.
good news.
You know, I was kind of thinking, though, Dr. Day, when you were talking about the eagles, I was kind of wondering what Dave Davies, lead guitar player for the Kinks, would absolutely would actually think about that. I don't know.
Well, Larry, you know, I always liked the Eagles. I didn't like Don Henley that much. He just whines. He's just a whiner. Don Henley whines too much.
Oh, God, I love Dave.
Yeah, you know, it's nice that Dave hangs out with us and listens to our show every night and you know, adds when he can.
Yes, it is.
All right, they need a name for a new baby at the Louisville Zoo.
Uh-oh.
Yes, the new baby at the Louisville Zoo. Hopefully the public will get a peek at the new baby pygmy hippo sometime this month. Yes, the baby hippo should be on display this month sometime. Now, the baby was born to Hope and Maggie. It weighs 16 pounds, and the zoo plans a naming contest. So if you think you've got a good name for a pygmy hippo, now's your chance.
Oh, well, God bless them.
Yep, just go to the Louisville Zoo and see what you can do. What would be a good name for a baby hippo?
Boy, that's a... I'm trying to think of some of the girls I dated. Never mind. That is so bad that, you know what I feel? I feel I should be punished and reprimanded by Dave Davies. That's how I feel about it.
Larry, you know, they say that, you know, the fat girls, they're a lot of fun. They're kind of like a, you know, like a little Honda Trail 90. They're fun to ride until one of your friends see you.
God bless Dave.
You started it.
No.
All right, let's head off to Salt Lake City.
Oh, good idea.
All right. Now, the Bureau of Land Management workers are removing two dinosaur tracks to prevent them from being damaged. Yes, they fell out of a mountainside there. Luckily enough, they were able to identify them. Now, the agency says in a statement that the tracks were collected after they came away from cliff edges due to natural erosion there. But they're quite spectacular. And they should be on display there before too long.
Oh, I can't wait. I was quite the dinosaur fan when I was a youngster. I mean, I couldn't get enough of the dinosaurs. You know what I'm saying?
I grew up in Kansas. There were, out in the Kickapoo Bottoms area, there were several just large hills. And at the top of one of the hills was a quarry. And there were dinosaur tracks for about 80 or 90 feet across the top of this quarry.
And no,
I was kind of
thinking Steve Kalinich would be a big fan of dinosaurs. Were you a fan of dinosaurs when you were...
I'm a huge fan of dinosaurs, and I'm about 10 minutes late. Is that... are you going to kill me?
Don't tell professional secrets. You're fine.
Why not?
You know, I was thinking, I was kind of wondering what Dave Davies might think about Steve Kalinich running a little bit behind.
Well, Steve was not, he's not right. We're just kind of early.
One of my favorites,
right.
And you got me this time, you really got me.
Yeah, he was on time.
There we
go, ahead,
go boys.
No, we're doing great, Stephen.
Yep,
go
we're
ahead,
just
Doctor.
About to wind it all up, Steve. We're glad you're here. All right, to our listeners in Nampa, Idaho, you can relax now. The 9-foot Colombian boa constrictor named Trinity that escaped from its cage has been found. It's home and safe.
Ooh. I'm sure the whole community was terrified.
Well, you know how people are. You know, what I love is somebody will say, oh, there's a spider out here, and it's as big as my fist, and you got to go get it, because I rescue all the animals and release them, and
yeah.
I'll go there, and it'll be like the size of a dime or something.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous.
So a 9-foot, you know, people are fearing that their cars are going to be swallowed whole. And
or their chihuahuas.
Yeah.
Or their goats or their pigs. And it's not Sumatra, folks. Animals don't disappear in the middle of the night because of giant snakes. Oh, God.
All right, well, let's finish this up so we can get Steve on. It's time to play Who's Gotten Older in the Celebrity World.
Oh, well, Stephen will be glad to participate in this.
All right, gentlemen, are you ready?
We're
How
ready.
How old do you think B.B. King got this week?
He's 89.
Oh, man, you couldn't be any closer.
I
Steve, what's your guess?
Stephen, does he have? Do you have any ideas, Stephen?
90.
Well, Mr. Batson wins. He is 89.
I know because I read it in the paper.
Okay, that's all right. I knew you had a loaded deck there.
Okay. Well, not intentionally.
How about singer, guitarist Jose Feliciano?
Oh, God, 110? I'm sorry. What
72.
Do you think?
Pretty close. Jose turned 69.
Oh, well, he's a young pup still.
All right, our last celebrity tonight, Joe Perry of Aerosmith.
Oh.
Now, I was surprised by this one.
That's a tough one. Can we guess how he feels or how actually old he is?
We know how he feels.
Go ahead, Stephen. You give a jab at it. I'll follow you.
In his 60s, I would say.
Yeah, Mr. Batson?
I'll say 69.
Actually, he's 64.
Oh, well, Stephen gets that one. I didn't have a clue. You know,
yeah,
my wife
well,
is
I know,
quite the...
I know. The only reason I guess he's younger than me.
My wife used to be, well, still is quite the Aerosmith fan, and they had a deal where in the 70s they'd always stay in Holiday Inns, and my wife's friend had an inn where they could get them rooms on the same floor, so they got to know him pretty well. Well, not real well. We don't want to go there, but they became friends, let's put it that way. And, yeah, so whatever. That's the end of that story. I don't want to criminalize myself.
Well, that's pretty cool. I mean,
yeah.
Hanging out with Tyler and the boys.
Well, it got to that the road manager would call him and say, hey, we're going to be in town. Says, you guys want to stop by and see us? And, you know, it was all good. It was nothing bad about it. But it was a good thing. In fact, I think the Aerosmith crew helped my wife and her friend carry their luggage up to their room one time. So, nice guys.
Yeah, good.
You know, it was all good, though.
All right, let's round this up. Now, we're talking out of this world, wild world news. Maven spacecraft will reach Mars this weekend after a 10-month journey spanning 442 million miles.
My God.
Yes, and if all goes well, the robotic explorer will hit the brakes and slip into the Martian orbit Sunday night.
You know, that's more brutal than my father taking four kids in a Pontiac Catalina to Colorado. And that only took 3 days to get there, let alone.
But it seemed like it was a 10-month journey.
Oh, God, especially through Kansas. But anyway.
Hey, watch
never,
it.
Never mind.
All right, let's finish this up with the wild world facts of the day. Now, once spread over the southern United States, the U.S. ocelot population in South Texas has declined from 80 to 120 individuals in 1995 to less than 50 in recent years, which is
wow.
not good.
No,
now,
that's bad.
The most surviving Texas ocelots are at or near the Laguna Anacosa National Wildlife Refuge near Brownsville. And there are only like 30 to 35 animals there.
Oh, my. That's distressing.
It is, and they're such a beautiful animal.
They truly are. So hopefully that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service can get behind that and turn that around, because that needs to be done.
Please, yes. Have you worked with the ocelots? I don't ever remember you.
No, I have not. Since for the last 30 years or so, they've been rather difficult to obtain. And even through zoos and so forth. I mean, we've worked with about every big and small cat you can name of, but I've never had the opportunity to work with an ocelot. Would love to, but never had that chance. So hopefully that will be in our future. We'll just see what happens.
We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yep.
All right, now I want you all to think about this as you're about to fall asleep tonight, as you're just dozing off. Mm. Recycling one aluminum can saves enough energy to listen to a full album on your iPod. Recycling 100 cans could light your bedroom for 2 whole weeks.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
I collect them. I do.
And what do you do with them?
I recycle them. I take them in and recycle them, and I take a truckload, and they give me my $3.98.
Sweet.
It's not a profit deal. You just do it for the good of mankind.
So your lights will be on in your house for a long time.
Well, that, as long as I pay REMC.
That's it. All right, well, that's the Wild World News for September 18th.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, now HD, newly renovated, beautiful knotty pine paneling. It looks absolutely spectacular, and his staff has done such a wonderful job each week compiling the Wild World News. We also want to thank McGregor Mountain Lodge. And, folks, it is time. If you've never had the chance to go west to the Rockies, state of Colorado, Estes Park, that should be your destination. The elk are in the low country in the rutting season. The male elk, the bulls are bugling. The fall colors are... It looks like the mountains are aflame. It's so brilliant out there. Now is the time. It is absolutely spiritual if you ever have the chance to go to that part of the country. And McGregor Mountain Lodge is a perfect place to stay. Right on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park, we've actually had bighorn sheep, elk, mule deer, and are right behind our cabin. I mean, it's so spectacular. So go to the website, McGregorMountainLodge.com. They have a 24-hour webcam, so you can check out on the weather. And even if it's snowing, I'm telling you, it might drop 10 inches one night. By the next day, the roads are clear, and you have Rocky Mountain National Park to yourself. So go to their website, make a reservation with Michael Hodges, McGregorMountainLodge.com. They make it possible for us to be on here each week on Blog Talk Radio.
Your mama, heavy
Our guest tonight, all the way from Los Angeles, California, he's written and worked with the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson, Dennis Wilson. He's a poet, an author. He's a man about town and a friend of the show, our good friend, Stephen Kalinich. Good evening, Stephen.
Good evening, and I love your show, and I love the guy that was just on, and I think he's met me before on the phone, and
yes.
I really appreciate it. And you broadened my scope, you widened my world, you touched me in a beautiful way.
Well, thank you. Dr. Day is, people love Dr. Day.
And we're not really sure why.
We're not sure why.
Well, I can see why.
Well, we can too. Such a great contributor, and it's great to have Stephen Kalinich, a friend of the show. He's been on a couple times before, but it's always an insightful show and lots of, and plus a very good listenership. So we really enjoy that. So what's going on in your world today, Stephen?
Well, we finished the Yo Mama 2, Kalinich Tibben, and the interesting thing is, I don't know exactly when it's coming out, but it will come out. You can ask Carol. And
yeah.
The interesting thing is I'm also one of the lead singers. It's my first album ever. I mean, I sang on some albums like World of Peace Must Come. This is my first rock album where I'm also a singer with John Tibben, my partner. So either you'll be running on the street away from it, or you'll say, here it is, the new Steve Kalinich. So I'm really excited about it.
Let's hope it's not a U2 thing.
What happened there?
No, we're not giving away for free, that's for sure. And then also, California Feeling 2 is coming out, and I've got some interesting tracks. P.F. Sloan's doing a track, Mary Wilson of the Supremes, a song I wrote for her,
cool.
And also her own. Stacey Keach did another poem. And then on the Yo Mama stuff, we have another song with Brian May. So it's going to be quite a Steve Cropper, Keith Reed that wrote White or Shade of Pale. We're going to have an interesting album. And I did a song on the California Feeling record with Neil Innes from the Ruddles and also from the Monty Python movies. And I'm really excited. And I owe Mark Lynette, my producer, engineer, partner on that one. So I'm really... We got a lot of good things coming out, and I'm very excited about it.
Wow.
Wow.
And this week I played at the Baked Potato with Jerry Vivino, who is from the Conan Show, and and all the guys from the Conan Show, and I did a poem with them, and they play at the Baked Potato, I think, every month, and they've invited me quite a few times. I did a show with them for the 50th anniversary of Coffee Bean with Nancy Sinatra, Amon Dozier, and I was the opening poet. And I think they had to fight to get me in there, Jason Rothberg, but they got me in, and I was well-received, and I loved it. So I've been really busy since I talked to you. For a young codger, I've been pretty good.
We're so glad. We have developed such a friendship with a community of yourself and P.F. Sloan, who was on the show 3, 4, or 5 weeks ago.
A wonderful talent, a great guy. I must say that I learned from him, and he's one of my favorites even before when I was even, I may be older than him, but I still was a fan of his as a teenager because he was a teenager. Eve of Destruction, Let Me Be, all the great songs. He's a major talent, and I feel underrated in the sense that not enough people know about him.
Well, P.F. Phil should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I agree, and I agree with that. And I've been fortunate to have other people that haven't been totally recognized, like David Marks from the Beach Boys. The first five albums is another great, great artist that needs to get his due. And I did an album with him. I think you know about that. And sometime I'll send you some tracks if I haven't already.
Well, we need to have David on the show. We need to talk to him because...
If he wants to do it, I'll ask him.
We'd be blessed.
You never know with these guys, but I'm glad some of them like it.
Yeah. Well, we try to make everyone feel like they're at home and they're among friends. And
We're not
yeah,
here
and Carol,
to.
And Carol from Ms. Music Records and Ms.
Mm-hmm.
Vinyl has been a very strong fan of mine and has helped me in a lot of ways, and I'm grateful to her.
She is just the best. She's been on the show a couple times. In fact, we're going to have her on in the next few weeks. So we can talk about...
She's a great person, too.
Oh, she is. She's just the best. And she's just nothing but a hippie.
Well, she's smart in some ways.
Carol.
She's a smarter hippie than I was.
Yeah, that kind of goes without saying for us.
You know,
the saying,
yesterday's hippies are today's business tycoons.
Yep. That's the truth.
Except for me, I left out of that one.
Oh, my Lord. You know, we've been watching this music channel, and gosh, I can't even remember the name of it, Philandria or something, and they show all these music festivals in Europe, and the Europeans have got it going because it's love and peace over there with their music festivals. I can remember when they had the first Woodstock, well, after the original Woodstock, they did it like, 20 years later, 30 years later, and it was just a mess. And I was watching this music festival from, I think it was the Netherlands. Not sure, but gosh, the kids were just so great. And it was so colorful.
It's so much fun over there, Larry. I did so well in Europe when I performed in a lot of the festivals. I did the Galactic Symphony, some of the poems from World of Peace, and it was staggering how well received I was. I was there 7 months last time, and it couldn't have been better.
Oh, I hate to say this, but that's what the U.S. was in the 60s as far as the young people were concerned. Wasn't all
well,
this aggression?
I find potential in the U.S. still, but like what I do is I've tried to stay away from a lot of the main poetry forums and try to open at the Troubadour for Joseph Arthur, who did the new version of Take a Walk on the Wild Side, the Lou Reed song.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other night I did Jerry Vivino, and I did a radio interview yesterday, and then I'm doing you tonight. I'm trying to do places that I wouldn't normally have a venue because I think that one thing, if you don't mind, I'd like to address, and I don't
sure.
want to get you in trouble, but I think the way it's set up in some ways for songwriters and artists is not totally correct. I think if someone only gives you a few dollars for your publishing or like that, that they should only be able to tie the copyright up for so long. And if they don't make you a certain amount of money, say in 5 years or whatever, that you can get part of that copyright back. Because what happens is they hold your material for years, and when you get a record, they benefit, and they even charge you to use your own record for films and TV. And I think that the artists need to recognize that it's not really right. There should be some built-in protection that there has to be some delivery system, and not one record. But if you don't make someone in 5 years, like 50,000, whatever it is, or something, you should at least get part of your rights back so you can work it. It means nobody's working your material or trying to get it in film or TV or for festivals or whatever. So that's one of my gripes tonight.
Well, you're absolutely
good
correct.
Idea.
Yeah, I was listening on the other night, and they were talking about how artists now, their music is, they're not, the music industry is, it's in a quandrum, and it's where that now the artists are having to put together these multi-million-dollar stage shows because that's where they have to make their money now. They're not making money on their recordings, which is a crime. I mean, the amount of work that goes into an album, you know, I think Don Henley once said, probably he wasn't very cheery, but he said,
probably
it
not,
took
yeah.
$1 million to make an album, and that is unbelievable.
And I think we have to open up to new young groups and new people, and not that I don't like a lot of the old groups, but we make them too much, almost deification, which they're okay. U2 just made a little bit of a mistake, I think, but we need to allow for new people, and I don't think we allow enough for new people. We need radio stations devoted to new people. We need people in the arts fostering not just potential big stars, but maybe small groups that have niche audiences, but have something to say about America and about a world. It's just like the people with money who control a lot of the media and things like that and make the decisions. It's not a decision for everyone. It's a decision for them to get you their viewpoint and their views. And sometimes it's right and sometimes it's not. But I think we need more voices of the people.
I couldn't agree any more. I mean, I think that the music business is now being restructured. A lot of artists are now having to restructure their careers on what, you know, how they go about it. And it's I know it's a scary time for a lot of musicians, especially young musicians.
And you and I talked about this last time. When you said, what advice would I have to people and the young artists and to people in almost any field, I'm not saying you're going to always make a living off it, but if you love to do something, if you want to do something, don't always go to someone else to tell you if you're good or bad. You'll find out one way or the other. But the thing is, if you love it, if you have passion, you should do it anyway. Even if you're not brilliant at it, but you love it, you get joy out of it. It's just, you know, maybe your market will be less. But people should do more what they love and maybe find something as an alternate to make a living, and not the way it's structured now, not expect, it doesn't seem that a lot of the music business is paying for it. They buy their own albums, they sink their own money, they buy their own instruments, and probably 90% don't make money, maybe more. And I don't think, you know, that's right. So it'd be healthy to create good music if one could do that. But once you rely on it for your livelihood alone, that's my view now. You don't have to agree with me, but I think that we need more joy, and we put a wall between those that are famous, the rock stars, and we want to be, you know, like be them or be like them or be a fan of theirs or get on their page. But we should want to do things ourselves instead of just always being a spectator nation and spectator people. Let people do what they want, whether it's art, whether it's music. If you want to even be a great mechanic or whatever field you're in, do it, you know?
Well, I gave a commencement speech, imagine that, for a high school.
I think that's fantastic.
Well, thank you.
That's fantastic.
And I told them that whatever you do, do it with passion. You know, put your heart into it. Don't listen to the no's. Forget about the no's, because the more no's that you get, you're getting closer to the yes. And that's what the young people need to know. That it's not, the music business is not easy, or there would, but you know what I've always said is that really, truly, the really talented people, the ones that come up with a really good product, they do make it. People do hear them eventually.
And you learn to make it at levels. Like what I did was, if I couldn't get a big label and make a lot of money, I'd take a smaller deal. I'd put out a record. I'd make 500 here, 1,000 here, whatever I could make, and not measure everything on the scale of the Beatles or the Stones or the Beach Boys, but just try and do, you know, my own thing, my own way, and be open to the possibility of other things.
Yeah. You know, we've had Stephen on a couple times, Dr. Day, and we've never got a chance to go into this Yo Mama album, and he's going to have Yo Mama 2, which we're going to have. There's another show.
Please,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to play a couple cuts from it. We're going to tune. Anything you can tell us about Cooler Than You?
Cooler Than You is another reference, Stevie Nobody and Jumpin' Jack hashtag, and it's just, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful track, and it's like, it's our idea. I wrote it mostly in honor of John's attitude of, you know, like we're cooler than you. It's like a thing the kids try to do, be cooler than each other.
Right.
Well, you know, I have to confess to you, Stephen, when I first heard this album, and I listened to a lot of my albums in my truck as I go to Walmart buying Tiger food. You know what this album reminded me of?
What?
Exile on Main Street.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, we love this album. And I got Andrew Luke Oldham, who was the manager of the Rolling Stones, he picked that song, You Want What You Want When You Want It, as his favorite, 1 week in Mojo, above Bob Dylan and above everybody. And that was only 1 week, but to have that in a magazine like that, I blew it up. It was a little yellow strip, but I blew it up, which I'll be glad to send it to you. But that was... And John knows him better than me. I have met him, too. But that was an honor to have somebody to manage the Stones pick us. And John is a fun writer, and we We love it, and I really appreciate that, and I do love a lot of the Stone songs. I got
well,
that.
Andrew just made our song suggestion. Here's You Want What You Want from Yo Mama, Steve Klinich and John Tiven on Broadway.
Don't put on airs for romance. Don't say prayers for your disease. Tell them kiss your ass and do whatever you please. It is better to be honest than to give them insincere shit. Maybe they'll give in to a taste of your wit. I say fuck it, just be your ugliest self. You will never be anybody else. You want what you want when you want it. I can't take it and I can't give it. You want what you want when you want it. You want a good life, you've got to live it. If they can't take a joke in the beginning, think how it all ends. Be honest with your feelings. Do not be afraid to offend or disturb their pursuit. You have a new recruit, and you're not even that cute. If this all seems a bit funny, try one time. Maybe you'll find someone who is genuine. I know you want what you want when you want it. I can't give it, and I can't take it. You want what you want when you want it. You want a good life, baby, you can't take it.
What about that, Dr. Day? You've never had an opportunity to hear that.
I know. It's pretty, yeah, reminiscent. I have to agree with you, what you said earlier. But, yeah, I want what I want when I want it. And that's just the way it is.
And, Dr. Day, the reason for that is, you know, when the Stones were older when they wrote, sometimes you can't always get what you want. But when I was a kid, it was like the Maple commercial. I want my maple and I want it now. We didn't want to wait and all that. Like, maybe you'll get this. Like, sometimes you might get, you know, we weren't that realistic. We wanted it immediately, didn't you?
Exactly. And what was his name? Was like Oglethorpe or something? The little maple kid.
Oh, yeah. I think it was.
Like Oglethorpe,
yeah,
exactly. Or something.
So that was kind of my motivation for the song is that. No, I don't want to sometimes get it. I want what I want when I want it. I don't want to wait. I'm impatient. I'm a rude little kid. So the so-called whatever age I am, which nobody knows, became the 18-year-old Reverend Stevie Nobody, and that's my character who was originally animated, but the label said, well, you've got to say you're a person because I think we should have left it and nobody knows who we are. It would have been a lot more fun with the public, you know, because
oh,
our first...
There you go.
video. Did you see the video, Larry?
No.
Of your.
No, I didn't.
Well, sometimes I'll send you the video. You could play the record, but you can't play the video. It's about what happens when we leave our body. When I leave my body, it's called, you know, do we go to the dust? Do we? Questions like that that we're answering.
Yeah.
So your mom is a hoot and fun, and we just love doing it. But, you know, even some of the songs may sound like a little off color, but we're trying to get at some kind of truth. I never swore in my Beach Boys songs, and occasionally I will in a Yo Mama song, because sometimes to get a point across, at the risk of some of my older fans might think I've fallen out, but I'm not, because I want to speak immediately to what I'm trying to address. So I try to open up, and I'm trying to less censor myself than I used to.
Stephen, I have a question. Go ahead.
As I've gotten older, I seem to enjoy the more colorful words myself.
Well, that's good. I can imagine with your little resume that I know about that you must have had a lot of colorful words in your day.
I've been very lucky, yes. As have you.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I imagine working with animals and all the things that you guys do, there's plenty that I would probably burn my ears off.
Well, I have to tell you, there was one time I was speechless. I was doing a program in a shopping mall in Syracuse, New York, of all places.
And I went to Syracuse University.
Oh, you did? Well,
Eastview
Mall.
Wow.
No, that's Rochester. It was, my God, what? Fayetteville Mall.
Okay.
And we had a bear cub with us, and he was sitting at the base of my feet. And I was telling people all about bears, and he reached up with his little bear mouth and bit me where no man wants to be bitten.
Oh, my God. Were you okay?
I was speechless.
Did you get hurt?
No. Well, at the time, I thought, my God, I'm going to die.
Oh, my God. How big a bear was it?
It wasn't a big one, luckily. It was just a cub.
Oh, my God. A cub. But they're so powerful. You know what? That's what I'm saying. You've got to be real. One thing is you learn respect with animals like you do with the ocean. You don't act with them. You don't mess with them. Because they, as much as you might love them and think they're cuddly, they have a totally alien nature to ours. And we can't, I mean, it's cute and all that, but you have to show respect to these animals, these wild animals.
You do.
Am I right or not, Larry?
No, you're absolutely right. And every day
I don't think it's right to make them a pet. I don't think it's right to make them a pet if they're wild.
Well, we don't really make them pets. We make them into educators.
I know you don't, but what I'm saying is I think to have respect for these beautiful creatures is very important. I think you're all about that from what I gather with the show.
Well, we try, and 37 years visiting schools with their animals, and it's been a joy. It seems just like yesterday that we started until I start moving around.
did you get a lot of, like, wounds on your body from animals?
The worst wound I've ever, yes, but the worst injury I ever received was I was bitten by a timber rattlesnake in St. Louis, Missouri, and spent 3 days in intensive care and a week in a hospital.
So you could have died.
That's what they tell me, but I had other ideas.
Well, you got a strong will, but by my God, did you have fear of this or no fear?
I have a respect. I don't really have fear, because if you have fear,
well,
you can't work with them.
That is great. That is good that you don't have fear. Maybe that helps you get through it.
Yeah, and you have to realize what you're dealing with. And usually, if there's something that does occur where you are injured, it's your fault, not the animals. They're pretty predictable. Wild animals are not unpredictable. They're very predictable. And God love each and every one of them, and they've put food on our table, we put food on theirs, and given us this wonderful life that we've enjoyed for the last 37 years. So God bless each and every one of them.
God bless them. That's God bless them, sir.
We're going to take a short break, and I've got a challenge coming up for you, Stephen. We've got a new artist, and I want you to listen to their song and give an opinion. If you would you do that?
Yes, I will, and I will try and be honest, but I'll try not to be brutal. Okay.
Okay, that'll be great. We'll be back. This is Wild World on Blog Talk Radio with Stephen Kalinich. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat. Oh, boy, a kitty cat. Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling. What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters?
This bobcat's heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland-urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov.
We're Rascal Flatts. There's a place where ordinary people do extraordinary things every day. That place is called the American Red Cross. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
We're going to be back with recording artist, poet, author Steve Kalinich in just a couple of moments. I want to remind everyone that all the episodes of Wild World can be downloaded on Blog Talk Radio absolutely free. We've had some wonderful artists, Rick Derringer, gosh, it goes on and on. Stephen Kalinich, Bobby Caldwell from Captain Beyond, Jimmy Greenspan from Three Dog Night, Tony K from Yes, Chris France from Talking Heads, on and on, several from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So we encourage you to go to our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/Larry-Batson. That's with two T's. Also, I remind everyone, check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. Tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do. Also, our wildlife education programs. and our wonderful Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy. Great track.
You know how that song came about?
No, I don't.
Carol and I were having breakfast one morning, and she's going on about investing and, you know, like a, you know, and here I am totally broke, and, you know, she's buying a property or something. And I said, Carol, we were having breakfast in La Cunada and some little place. It's called Hill Street Cafe, I think. It's like the Hill Street Blues Show. And,
we know the people in there, and I said, Carol, it's hard to be a millionaire when you're broke. And then I said, hey, I'll write it down. That was my title. I went home and wrote the song, but Carol was with me when I created it. And I thought that she saw me buying all this crap. And, you know, like for me, I can lucky if I can I get dinner, you know. So that's how the song came about. I think it's a real honest, it's hard, you know, like in other words, it's hard to be a millionaire when you're broke. It's hard to buy things when you have no money. So but I thought it was everyone, probably almost everyone except for maybe 2% could relate to that song.
Mm.
So there's humor in it, but there's a lot of honesty in it too, you know?
Well, you know, look at all these folks that have won the lottery and won millions of dollars and they end up with nothing.
A lot of people, they don't know how to, like you, they don't understand the money thing, so they'll go through it. But I think didn't they do statistically that most people habits that were poor before eventually lose their money, or isn't it like a large percentage don't hang on to it like you just said? Isn't that something kind of that they know?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Look at all the athletes, the professional football players and basketball players that had these careers where they made millions of dollars, and as they get older and they're decrepit from their injuries they received in their sports careers, they have nothing. And
that's why I said in the beginning we've got to find ways to protect the artists and probably the athletes too, so there's got to be a certain part that they have to put into a fund. I mean, I know it's a little, I know people cry freedom, but when people don't, someone needs to, you know, get their rights back, help them, but it needs to be there already so when they get a deal that they're not being invited to be walked over. What people will do, they'll take a song because they need money. Ron Miller did it once with Berry Gordy for Once in My Life. He sold the whole thing for like $10,000. So even that song meant millions later, he only got that money, and they bought him out, but it's legal, but I don't think it's honest. There's a lot of legal things, like with your contracts, and I don't want to go into I have personal situations where that's involved with songs. Like some of my songs, like California Feeling is on the verge of could becoming a huge copyright. Al Jardine's cut it, The Honey's cut it, Brian cut it, Beach Boys cut it. But, you know, one of these times some artist is going to, it'll get on there, it's going to be in a movie or something, and it's going to blow up. And then I have some of the percentage. I'm not going to say anything because I'm directly involved, but I should have, if I had the proper contract, I don't even think anyone even looked at my contract. They might have got me to sign in an office or something.
Yeah.
But I'll get something. But what I'm saying is I'd like to address these kind of things so people like me, now that I'm older, if I'd known that when I was younger, I would have more of a savings now. I'd have a better plan. But I'm not saying it just for myself because it's kind of late in life, but for me. But for the young people, not to be careful what you give to people. Just be very careful what you do.
When you get in the middle of your careers and you're playing stadiums and concerts every night, that is the last thing on your mind. You just
Exactly. But that day will come, like you said. You get wounded. You can't play on the field anymore if it's sports. You lose your fingers, the feelings even in your finger. And then you can't play, and your income, and you go into your principal, and before you know it, I mean, I remember when I was a busboy in Vegas, in Las Vegas, in the I think it was the 60s or maybe, Joe Louis, the heavyweight fighter, was like a doorman at the Sands, like a greeter. I mean, they gave him probably good money, but that was his job to make a living because of his personality. But I have so much respect for that guy, but I don't think that was a right, you know, like that no one took care of him, his management like that. They're all, that they let him get to that state. One of the great fighters, remember Joe Louis, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, and I know in the world of sports and in the world of wildlife, that he was very popular. But, I mean, it's just, I think that, for me, that is a crime, even though it's considered legal what they do. I don't know if you agree with me. I think that these people, their intent is not good.
No. Well, God bless the I remember Keith Richards talking about the first time that the Stones went to Chess Studios in Chicago to record.
and there was Muddy Waters painting the restroom. I mean,
oh yeah, that's a good example.
Oh my God, those guys. And God bless the Stones. They hopefully they brought money back to these guys because they recorded their songs. And
well, all the rock groups just about are pretty. When they get management, they're not. Later they get to causes because they think it's commercial, but they don't start out as really great humanitarians. And the only thing I would say in my approach with the Beach Boys, and not defending myself, the Beach Boys were already famous. They did not need me. But what I did bring was I already had written If You Knew and Be Still, you know, some of those ideas before I actually wrote the songs. I was already in that spiritual consciousness. It came to me when I was young. I didn't realize there was a whole literature on it. When I wrote these things, I thought I was discovering a new philosophy. Later on, I found about Thoreau and Whitman and everyone. But what I was doing, I created it independently, which shows consciousness of itself has the capacity, because these are probably universal ideas swimming in consciousness. And if you open your thought, the way I think you open your thought is by giving and loving, you open up to that. But the problem is when you start thinking you own it totally, I don't mean like legally. I mean when you start thinking you're God or that you're creating it, and instead of that it's a gift through you, that's one of the problems people come in.
Yeah. I know. I had mentioned moments ago that we have a new band. We had a group on, Stephen, a couple, 3 weeks ago that, man, we had a huge audience for them, and they're brand new, and they record their own material, and I would like your opinion. We're going to play a song. Now, I have to tell for the youngsters that this is a parental advisory because there are a couple of words that are just not very nice.
Well, mine weren't that nice either.
Yeah, there was one song in particular on Yo Mama that I thought I should not play, but
I don't. It has to do with cul-de-sac, right?
Yeah. Oh no, I left that up here. We can still pop that on tonight. That's still possible.
No, that one might not. What was the one you didn't want to play?
Go blank yourself or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can understand that. Yeah, I don't think that'd be a good theme song for you, but you understand the intent. Yeah.
No, I do understand the intent. Well, hopefully you understand the intent on a band called Audiodacity from Indianapolis. In fact, the guitar player is a friend of mine's son who decided to pursue.
Well, after I hear it, I'll tell you and tell him. The other thing is the next time you email Tony K or talk to him, say, tell him you had on his buddy Stevie Kalinich from Paponi's restaurant that used to go there from the Beach Boys, and he and I were good buddies. I haven't seen him in a while. Say, your old friend, the rock and roll writer from Paponi's, Stevie Kalinich, the poet, that was in Paponi's every night. Paponi's, P-E-P-O.
Okay.
Tell Tony, do you write, email him once in a while?
I do. Paponi.
Yeah. Well, when you do, if you talk to him, Tony K, okay?
I will do that, absolutely. In fact, we need to have
Tony
back on the show.
I haven't seen him for a while, but I love that guy. He's a great guy.
Oh, he was the best. He was the greatest. Here's a song called Memories from a band called Audiodacity right here from our hometown. Well, I should say Dr. Day's hometown in Indianapolis, Indiana, on Blog Talk Radio.
Never wrote you that letter, claiming you wishing you bad luck. I'm wishing you bad luck.
Wishing you
bad luck. Now when I see you with your friends, it tears me up. Cause I'm wishing, and I'm wishing, wishing you bad luck every time. A piece of you is in me.
Understand the feeling of the song. I think they sound really good. They're a really good group. They have a good sound, good music, and I can understand the feeling, the sentiment. The only thing I would say, hopefully, as he gets over, he won't always wish her bad luck. He'll dwell on his own consciousness and just let it go and not let it bother him, because that's what I've learned with things like that. But is that a funny criticism?
That's fantastic.
That's a good critique.
That's excellent. But also, I'd ask the same thing.
I'm 72 years old, but I like the song a lot, and I felt, look at, you've certainly seen some of mine on Yo Mama Juvenile where I've done worse than that, and I totally understand it. But I'm just still, at one point I say, you know, let it go and move on to your next chapter, brother.
You're 72 going on 30, man.
I'm going on 20.
Well,
yeah,
I
like them. Really, they're a very talented group. It sounds good, and they're very sophisticated, and yet they've got a raw edge. And I like where Willie went crazy with the lyrics. It was good. I think it's something that a Yo Mama might, you know, do, but maybe more tongue in cheek. But I just really like it a lot.
Well,
so
thank
tell
you.
Tell those guys since it's your friend and the son that I liked it. And they're probably
saying,
who the hell is that?
I will no, because what I'll do is I'm going to send you some of their other tracks, because I have to confess I've had it in my truck and I've listened to it constantly for the last few days. And
well, I like a lot of it and give them my regards, and give them, if they want to contact me through you, it's fine too.
Stephen, have you got something that you can recite for us tonight? A few minutes left in the show.
I could do why are we getting close?
Please.
No, go ahead. Go right ahead.
Okay.
Time is on our side.
Well, how about we haven't done that for a while. How about the magic hand?
There you go.
The magic hand. Poems can never make adequate explanations for man and his many hesitations and his constant deviation from what is real. They love me through wooden eyes. The tree of love in one heart lies. The bough brushes gently along the ground, for waiting souls long to touch it. It's mystical and deep and sorely needing, and cautious and slow to constant heating, and has been eternally bleeding. It lies in deserts and in the sand. In mountains one can sense the hand that molded shelf by shelf the lower and the higher self, and placed man somewhere in between what is and what seems to have been, the spark of all and the machine. It asked him only to obey the heart within, the only way. From ancient histories of the past, through destructions and nuclear blasts, the only breath that one sees last is the breath of love. Through its nostrils clean, it breathed pure air, till man put hate and impurities there, pervading the atmosphere, released by thought, separating each from the eternal ought, not ought to be or ought to do, but the ought of spirit, which told the secret there is no man, no woman, no sex, no creed, no race, but only spirit on a constant chase toward itself, shelf by shelf, building, growing, and forever flowing. The hour is approaching. The animal is dying. The soul is moving upward and forever trying. The new man speaks as one who knows, not with words of brass or steelish lies or pleading groans or cries. He speaks of all that there can be in living the life of eternity, which does not begin for visitors of the earth, but those that live in the here and now. The dead are walking down the street. Look at them. Look at them. Each other's eyes constantly meet, and they know in their heart that death is necessary for one to grow. They must die to old thoughts, old habits, and live with what is new. And that is man, that is a heart that flows into all hearts, that lifts up and laughs and purifies. On the other side of death is life, and life is loving. And zombies who gather together in congregations and mass strangulations feel the bubble is bursting because their soul is thirsting, thirsting for a touch of the hand, the magic hand that with fingers finer than pure gold, fingers not made of flesh or bone, fingers that are all things. This magic hand echoes as a symbol in every land, that itself is a part of every woman, every child, and every man.
Oh, my Lord.
I don't think anything else needs to be said.
I don't think so. That's beautiful, Stephen.
Wow.
Thank you, sir.
My God.
Thank you, sir. It's a gift. Whatever it is, it's a gift from grace.
Oh, it is.
God, I believe there is within us this beautiful grace. And the only way, I think it comes to us rather than us go to it, but I think the only way to access it is through the stillness and through active loving in your actions and trying to overcome your demons as best you can, but knowing that they're there and learning to live with them and try and keep them in check as best you can and still have fun in your life.
It is always such a pleasure to have Stephen Kalinich on our show, Dr. Day. Gosh, what a spectacular program we had.
I know. What a great ending.
Oh, my God.
Dr. Day,
oxygen.
It was so good to talk to you, Dr. Day.
I'm sorry?
It was so good to talk to you, too.
It's nice to talk to you. We were pretty excited about the show tonight because we knew it was going to be live and fun.
Yeah, oh, my gosh.
And educational.
Yeah, and I have to also tell Stephen, I was so afraid to send our new book, Alphabet Swamp, to an accomplished, acclaimed author. It was like...
Oh, I love your book. It's so sweet. Hey, you know what we should do, if anyone would pay us, we should do a joint, the three of us in our field, do a joint lecture or have someone book us and we can split it. I'm not hung up as long as they pay my way there.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fantastic.
I mean, we could do it... the right venue, do a workshop, a day workshop or a lecture. I mean, I'd do something like that if it was the right thing. We could combine the poetry, the music, the animals, and whatever. Like, there's stuff to educate people. I don't know if anyone's ever done, like, combine all of them. I come up with these ideas, and sometimes they work, sometimes not, but that came off the top of my head.
Well, I think it'd be an outstanding idea. Cheryl and I would love to do it. She was so... she was so taken by your kind words when you received it and you sent us an email. And that was, she said, to get such a positive response from such a noted poet and author, that it was quite special.
And give her my regards and you guys too. And I'm serious, if it comes up, I've done it before. Even in England, they brought me to speak, and I ended up getting other jobs too. I did, like, at the Beach Boy Stomp, and they got me a place to stay, and put me over there for about a week, and it was fun.
Well, our guest tonight, Stephen Kalinich, gosh, folks, a wonderful show. We'll be back next Thursday. Thank you, Dr. Day.
Hey, we need to plan on having Stephen back soon.
Oh, very soon, because that new album's coming out. But from the old one, When I Leave My Body, on Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.
Stephen, thank you so much.
Well, God bless you, Larry. It was so much fun. And will you send me the show when you get it so I can send it to my friends?
Yeah, it'll be on within a half hour or so. In fact, I was looking
at it. But I don't know how to do it, so maybe send me how to do it, and I'll send it to them.
Yeah, you can just... you can just download it. It's simple. It's real simple. And they can listen to it anytime.
And you'll send me the link, right?
Yes, I certainly will.
Okay, I love you and love to your and love to Dr. Day, and it was really fun. But I'm serious about that. If something comes up where we could do something, it might be worth it, and we might help people too.
I agree tremendously. I agree.
Yeah, like a corporate sponsor, maybe a corporate sponsor. You know, somebody that could afford all of us and not. We don't have to kill them. We could just do it reasonably, you know?
Yeah. Well, we'll put it together. Absolutely. We'll put it together.
All right.
Hey, have a good evening. God bless you, man.
You too. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.